Hi everyone,
and welcome back to the Product Marketing Insider podcast, which is brought to you by Product Marketing Alliance. My name's Bryony Pace, and I'm the content manager here at PMA. This week's podcast is sponsored by Product Marketing Co. Meta, we know. PMMC is our very own product marketing certification program, and it covers the A to Z of product marketing essentials. With 11 modules, 68 chapters, 87 exam questions, 10 plus hours worth of learning, and official PMA certification, it's a course not to be missed. Head to pmmalliance.co/PMMC for more info. To help establish and elevate the role of product marketing, we're on a mission to speak to 50 PMMs and pick their brains on everything from their journey into the industry, which teams they interact with most, what skills they believe are critical for the role, and a whole load more. To do just that, with me today is Farhan Mangiani, an Associate Product Marketing Manager at QPass, and also one of our very own PMA ambassadors and founding 500 members. So, let's pass over. Welcome to the show, Farhan.
Thank you so much, Bryony. Happy to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show today. I guess, could we just kick off for everyone listening with a bit of an introduction to you, the company you're currently working at, and then your role within the company?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started off my career carrying a bag, and for those that don't know, in the sales world. So mainly always had the startup bug, started off in actually fintech startup in Hong Kong, focusing on insurtech. I was the first enterprise sales rep. They're responsible for putting up some of the first logos on the site. And apparently we did too good of a job because we got lots of interest from one of our competitors, and they ended up acquiring us actually just a couple months into the role. And part of that acquisition was send the American back home because he's too expensive. So came back to Austin, Texas, where I went to school. And funny enough, got introduced to one of the investors at Mercury Capital and a portfolio company down in Austin for a company called Trendkite. So this is a much later stage, growth stage, Series B company, very mature sales organization, right? Continued as a rep there. And that's where I first got introduced to the world of product marketing, which initially through sales enablement, as I was kind of learning my ups and downs of becoming a better seller and learning methodologies and personas and different pitches, et cetera. I just got super enamored by the whole function and wanted to know, who's making all these assets? Who's running these trainings? It's just so super interesting. And then found out, right, that there's a director of product marketing, started sitting down with him, picking his brain and trying to figure out what's the best way to transition over to that team. Long story short, after working on a couple of projects, this same theme comes back in my life over and over again. We also got acquired by one of our competitors at Trendkite. And in that process, the product marketing team had doubled overnight. So it was safe to say that there weren't going to be any openings on that role in some time or for some time. And so then I started looking elsewhere. And to this point, it was really mid-market SaaS startups, is in all B2B was all of my experience. And I wanted a better taste of an enterprise, highly technical sale. And so that's where I found QPOS, which is based in DC, although majority of the company is remote. And I was brought in, the CTO was a longtime mentor of mine. So I was brought in to sit formally in the product organization. So I roll up to the VP of product. I work with, I'm the sole PMM, working with the ratio of 5 to 1, which is a ton of fun. And just a bit of background on Q, early stage, Series B restaurant tech company, looking to really change the way that operators think about point of sale systems, but really their entire way they operate from a technology standpoint, specifically looking at an enterprise and within that, the fast casual concepts. So we call them the poop and scoop, if you understand. But think about the Chipotle's of the world, right? You go down the line and you just add something to some combination of a bowl or a burrito and keep going. So that's really our bread and butter. And right before I came, the company where it was, you know, we had just focused upstream to enterprise only and no mid-market, and really narrowed in that focus to fast casual. And at the same time, had really been rebuilding the entire product. So from the perspective of the rest of the company outside the technical teams, it was positioned as, hey, we're, you know, this is a new and improved product, when in reality is a net new product. And so what that meant was parity was not there. And so my main role was really stitched together the first go-to-market, formal go-to-market strategy within the company, make sure that internal alignment is there. Just like you said, a small but mighty marketing team existed, which is a CMO and a specialist, right? So super lean, and majority of the company did not have that operator experience, right? To really understand how are restaurant operators at the enterprise level really using the product, right? And there's so many different levels to that. And so apart from kind of working on that, stitching together that first go-to-market strategy and what it looked like, right, identifying who the players were and what they needed. And then the second piece of that was, of course, sales enablement, going back to what I was originally interested in. And so I don't focus too often on competitive intelligence, but mainly sit at the intersection of those two.
Okay, cool. Thanks. That's a really detailed insight there. So I guess going back to kind of how you got into product marketing, the trend that I normally get is people kind of just fall into it. And you know, it's a case of, oh, I actually realized I was doing product marketing for a few years, just not under the title. But it sounds like, you know, you kind of very actively wanted to go into it. I know you were saying you sat down with the kind of director of product marketing. And this is a question that I see being asked a lot, kind of like both within our Slack community and online, like, how do you get into product marketing in the first place? So I guess when you were having those conversations, like kind of exploring product marketing, was it a case of you just kind of fact finding to understand about the role, or were you kind of completing projects for them on the side, or like what did that actually look like for you?
Yeah, great question. It's a question I spent a long time answering myself. But for me, interestingly enough, I was a recipient of a piece of product marketing, right? And then I got to really formally see both sides of the table. And I realized that I had a competitive advantage that, you know, I was one of the stakeholders of product marketers, right? So one of the kind of core fundamental challenges as I started to dig in and really understand and ask questions, which is really the crux of how I did it, which is how you do anything else. And you want to break into it, a ton of informational interviews. And mind you, right, PMA has played a tremendous role in that educational process throughout the year, whether it's just resources or getting connected to different people and just understanding how much the definition of product marketing differs, whether you're B2B, B2C, you know, you're all SaaS or hardware included in that. And, you know, just understanding all these different definitions. But for me, once I kind of figured out that, hey, here's some of the core challenges, particularly when it comes to sales enablement, which so often falls through product marketing, one of the core challenges is sales reps don't tend to do what we're told, right? We tend to do as we see others do. And a core function of that is you know, it comes with the territories. You become very territorial, right? And oftentimes, sales reps don't tend to like outsiders. And a big part of the enablement function is simply earning the respect of sellers. And I realized that was a huge angle for me, is that I had been there, right? I get it. I know what it's like to be at the end of the month and be inches from quota. And, you know, I don't care what the collateral is. I just want something to get my deal done, right? And me get on to the next month. And so understanding the pressure that they're in and how quickly, right, the environment that you need to be able to find that collateral, or, you know, under what circumstances you're kind of ready in the right mindset to think about how your pitch may need to be different, or to think about the persona that you might be talking to, or overall your methodology, what stage of the funnel you're really in, just understanding how to frame it so a sales rep really understands. I knew that that's something I didn't have to be trained on. In fact, it was very likely that whoever I reported into would not come from that background, and there was an opportunity for me to educate up. And so I continued to just really play that angle as a seller turned product marketer, and at the same time recognize that most product marketing functions fall into marketing. So there is definitely some education that I needed there, which, you know, the relationship between sales and marketing is pretty tight. And I understood, you know, as sales organization or a function, what marketing is able to produce. And the short answer is MQLs. That's about it. But then I had to go in and expand and educate myself on, okay, what about the rest of it? What else is happening? Now I understand how a company is fundamentally making money. What else is going into that process? And largely, who all is touching the revenue generation kind of entire funnel? And I need to fundamentally understand what are the goals and drivers for each of those team members, because ultimately those are going to be my stakeholders. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just worked my way backwards and said, okay, if I need to sit at the intersection of all this, I need to understand each of these teams intimately.
Yeah. No, that's a really interesting background. And like you say, like I can imagine it comes in so useful. As you've probably seen yourself in the community, you see lots of questions around sales teams, you know, kind of pain points, barriers, how can I overcome this? So you're obviously primed to kind of stay on top of that. So I guess to put you on the spot right now, product is listening and they're having issues with the sales teams. Like when you are on the other side of this rope, like what would make, like what wouldn't work for you? Like what advice would you give to product marketers to get that kind of buy-in from the sales teams, get them on side if they were struggling with that?
Yeah, a couple of things here that I've picked up both from my time as a rep as well as just researching this field. Super, super interesting. Number one, sign up for a PMA membership, right? Start really consuming that content and build that discipline in yourself to ultimately build empathy, right? How you do everything else is you need to understand the drivers and motivations. And more tactically, what that looks like is a couple of things. I like to always go back to the four R's for educating reps, which if you go on to any methodology class or any sales enablement, this comes up time and time again. Sales reps need to be able to retain what they're taught, recall it at will, repeat it to both their managers as well as their clients. And if all else fails, they need to fundamentally understand how to research any of those three things, right, on their own. Without any help from anyone else. And everything that you're doing from an enablement function should touch on one of those four. And in my time as a rep, as well as training reps, a couple of things that I've learned, a lot of times the enablement function seeks to change the results themselves, when I really think that they should focus on managing the activities that actually drive the results. And when you're changing the activities that drive the results, it goes back to oftentimes what's said on a sales floor is control what you can control, right? You often can't control the results, but you can control the activities that lead to those results. For example, your effort and attitude, right? That you're coming with every single day, and just understanding that perspective. And the next thing is salespeople, like we talked about, right? Often don't do what they're told. They do what they see. So it's going to start with your managers. What are your managers doing to reinforce the enablement that you're really trying to put in? Whether that's a new pitch deck or, a pitch overall or personas or whatever it may be, are your managers doing it themselves? Do you have buy-in from the directors and the VP of sales, right? Do they think methodology is useful? Are they also asking about it when it comes to things like pipeline reviews? Mm-hmm. And then finally, right, people often don't do what you're expecting them to do, but they will do what you inspect of them, right? And so if you're going through something in your Salesforce and you're trying to make sure, you know, they're following some sort of sales methodology, let's say it's the BANT, the budget authority needs and timeline. If you write in there, right, that after you hang up on this call, you need to be able to articulate these four things to your sales manager, right? And you have the buy-in of sales leadership and the sales manager to ask those questions after a call. You better believe that every rep is going to be able to do that, right? They're going to make sure before I hang up the phone, I need these four things. Otherwise, I'm going to look really dumb in front of my peers. And that's an excellent, excellent motivator.
Yeah, no, that's a great shout. And then you mentioned earlier as well, so your kind of PM to PMM ratio is 5-1, which sounds pretty intense. Yeah. Like, how do you find that and how does that work kind of day to day, week to week?
Yeah, that's something that's still working out. So it's a little bit extra context there. Of the five products, two have been released for some time and are stable products and we're just iterating and really optimizing. Two of them have been very released very recently. And so they're rapid iterations to ensure that we're really making, and really that's purely driven by customer feedback at this point. And then one is simply beta launched. And so because I sit in the product organization, my day-to-day kind of on a macro level is following what product does, right? And my responsibilities are just complementary to product and oftentimes one and the same. And so we're following all the Scrum ceremonies on a biweekly period, right? And so there's 2 weeks of kind of planning and requirements building and figuring out what we're going to do and actually doing it, and then 2 weeks of testing that. And so every 4 weeks we continue to repeat this process. Mm-hmm. And so just some quick examples of that. If the product managers are building out requirements for the upcoming sprint, then some of the activities that I may be doing is implementing design sprints, right? Going out to customers and saying, hey, if you, going back to PMA, something's fantastic, right? What's the job to be done here? What do you really need this feature for? What do you need this product to do? How would you want it to do it? And getting that information and making sure the voice of the customer is represented in the development product process through vis-a-vis the PM, right? So I'm really an extension of each and every PM in that fashion. Or if the product managers are doing pointing, right? Figuring out an estimate of how much work is this thing going to take for me to build this specific feature or function. Then at that time, really, I'm going back to the sales engineers and say, hey, we're getting ready to develop, you know, XYZ. We need your input, right? We need to understand what are some of the challenges that you're finding in the technical discovery with our prospects. How can we make sure we build that in as we're now trying to figure out, you know, how long are we going to work on this thing?
Mm-hmm. And then in terms of those kind of all those internal stakeholders and counterparts, like within mm-hmm. your organization, I know like another kind of industry wide pain point as such in product marketing is that a lot of people struggle to get other people in their company, to understand what the role of product marketing is, like what they do, the value they bring to the table. What's that like for you at QPOS? Like, does everyone get the role? Is everyone bought in, or do you find yourself having to educate them, or?
Yeah, very much the education is necessary. I think because I'm just kind of an extension of the product team, right? The product marketing function is not its own function, right? And so I think when you don't have that executive that also has a similar title to yours, mm-hmm. everyone just sees you as an extension of XYZ team. So I will say that the one thing that's clear, I think, to everyone is the bridge building aspect of product marketing, and that people can go to me to get some sort of answer from product, right? And product is just a big bubble for everyone else, non-technical, but that's going to include everyone from developers to scrum masters to engineers to product managers. Doesn't matter. Whatever the question is, they just come to me, whether that's marketing at the end of the day, whether it's support, whether it's the implementation team or anyone else, or sales. I'm kind of that first step is everyone just says, oh, go talk to Farhan. He'll sort you out. Mm-hmm. And so that didn't require very much education, but outside of a triage, if you will, and just pointing people in the right direction, some of the more strategic value that's often talked about with product marketing, which at a high level, how do we think about market penetration and product adoption within that? Those are conversations that I find myself having to really think strategically and look for inspiration of others, on as a sole PMM, right? When you're the only one in the company, how are you advocating to others? Because you're advocating constantly, whether it's to your peers, for me, which are the technical teams, right? To really understand, hey, here's what I'm working on, right? You may see me as just another product manager or an analyst and, you know, want me to dig into requirements and write technical documentation or for marketing. Hey, can you just go write this blog for us, right? Because mm-hmm. we want to do it. It's really technical. So can you just do it? Or support and just saying, hey, you know, we're making training videos for our customers. You're the product guy. Can you come in and work on this for us, right? Really just mm-hmm. educating that, yes, those responsibilities are important and technically can fall under product marketing. But what's the broader strategy and how product marketing is actually influencing the business? That buy-in is not clear today for, mm-hmm. for my organization.
Mm-hmm. And then how do you find being the sole PM? I know a lot of product marketers kind of work alone, and then I guess in a way it can maybe be isolating, even though you don't have that team of people who are working on the same kind of things as you to bounce stuff. Like, who do you go to for support and to lean on internally?
Yeah, it's a great question. And so within the product manager stratification, there's a singular senior product manager, and there are lots of product managers, and then, or sorry, two product managers and two product analysts. And so that delineation, I think, is super important, and took me some time to understand as well. But essentially, the higher you go into our organization, the way it works is I found that product managers often have very similar challenges to product marketers. And right in terms of the identity crisis, for example, you'll find that product managers and scrum masters, and for some organizations, they just simply call them project managers, but on the technical side, basically the bridge between the product manager and the developers, are often misconstrued, right? They're often conflated with one another. For example, a product manager is often asked, what's the current status of X? When that's really a job for the scrum master, right? And they need to work hand in hand, but the product manager should be thinking ahead, not in kind of stuck in the weeds of what's going on today, because they're looking at, you know, the market and how we're fitting in that today. And at the same time, the product marketer is their counterpart, right? Really making sure that looking ahead also, what's the product adoption looking like? And how are we making sure we're doing that for what we have built, as well as what we will continue to build? And what is the scope and support needed from the rest of the organization? So again, because that function is not fully fleshed out, believe it or not, right? It was kind of an expectation that many of these responsibilities that are formally product marketing were actually being asked of each of the product managers to do individually for their own product. And so when I came in, essentially what I did was just take a little bit of work off of everyone, put it together, and really start to educate on, hey, this is all in the bucket of product marketing, right? And this is something I can absolutely own. And so because a lot of these product managers were trying to do both, they were really empathetic to having some extra help doing these tasks, but also start to understand what are some of the practices to actually execute on this, right? What are some templates we can use? What are some methodologies we can adopt in addition to everything we need to do to make the product bigger and better? So there was just a lot of empathy. And normally I don't just sit, you know, beside product managers to be close to them. I'm actually part of the product team, and they always ensure that I feel that way, which is really awesome. So to answer your question, I actually go to the product managers themselves, and because I'm able to lead with empathy and understand intimately their roles, and I also have done enough education to understand kind of the key differences, but also the overlap between product marketing and product management, it becomes a really nice merriment for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. That leads me nicely kind of onto my next question in terms of that crossover between what you do and what a product manager does. Because it's something I see a lot of conversations around as well, kind of mm-hmm. where does the line begin and end? Like, in your eyes, like, where do those lines start and stop? Or is it kind of a general crossover / merge? Or
yeah, it is a little blurry. It is a little blurry. And that's because we're just not that mature as a company, right? Still very early stage. And so when there is something to be done, it's less about who has the expertise in the area and more about who has the bandwidth, right? Particularly when you have a technical product, it's very hard to draw a line in the sand and say, okay, at this point, it's this individual's responsibility. When often what happens is, right, a product manager is helping flesh out what a feature really needs to look like, how it needs to work, vetting that with customers. And then at the same time, once it's actually developed, making sure, right, it was developed correctly and educating the rest of the company, as well as supporting customers vis-a-vis support team as well, right? And when you're asked to do that full cycle, that's insane, right? Especially if you're trying to develop quickly and often. And so, on top of that, often the responsibilities then come from other folks of, hey, what about pricing and packaging? Right? We should really think about this. And what about competitive differentiation, right? Have you heard of this company and doing this and this and this? And so, for us, it really comes down to bandwidth. Hey, where can Farhad support? And so I've kind of had to make sure I have a close ear to all of the conversations happening with all the product managers, really at all times. It's almost every meeting that they have, I'm a fly on the wall. And it's really been up to me to make sure I intimately understand, hey, this is an awesome opportunity to flex my product marketing muscles. Let me make sure that I take on this responsibility. And at the same time, you know, it's my development, but it's also coming in and say, hey, this is a lot of stuff for you, man. How can I be helpful? And most people are kind of embracing me with open arms. But had I not been there and before I even came, right, product managers were just expected to really do everything, right, and be a jack of all trades.
I guess that's just startup life as well, isn't it? It's just typically so much more scrappy, right? And you don't have these like defined teams. I guess like companies who have these huge product marketing teams, you might have people who just specialize in position, who just do go to market, who just do positive intel. But in these early stages, like exactly like you said, you're a jack of all trades and you just dip your toe in all waters. And I quite like that. Like obviously PMA is startup life and it keeps it exciting. Yeah. It keeps it fun. Like it's challenging. But like you say, like especially for personal progression, it's amazing.
Yeah, because everything has to be done today or yesterday. And then you have to learn all of it, right? Or you get to learn all of it is the way I like to look at it. So it's been really, really fun. And I think important for that empathy, right? Is when you are so cross-functional, the first thing in my mind that you need to do is intimately understand everyone else's KPIs, right? You need to know how do they win? And how can you align yourself to that winning? And part of that is understanding what a day in the life is like for each of these people. So the more you can do that, I think all the better. And the easiest way to do that is go to a startup and don't worry, you won't even have to raise your hand. You will be voluntold.
I love that one. I've not heard voluntold before. I'll be using that. Okay, awesome. You just, I think, subconsciously, very nicely led me on to my next question, which is a day in the life of you. So I ask this question all the time in the Insider podcast. The common consensus is there is no such thing as a standard day as a product marketer. Every day is different, diving into new things. But, like, are there any kind of constants or consistencies between your days? Or?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, you know, broadly, like you talked about, most of it is the difference is, right, I'm stitching together a go-to-market strategy. It's not kind of fleshed out and everyone understands. So it's something that I'm constantly iterating on and therefore I'm also constantly educating on. So I think that's a recurring theme of, hey, these are processes in place to just make this better. Please remember and follow them. And at the same time, right, is making sure people really understand the life cycle of product development. Because I think for a lot of people, this is really aloof. And for us, we're very much a product-led company, which means that you need to understand, you know, what are the cycles, right? When, how long does it take to develop? At what point are you know, is the right time to give feedback that it'll actually, you know, be heard, but also implemented? Some people just see that I gave feedback and it wasn't implemented until 6 weeks later. Well, in that 6 weeks process, right, what's actually happening? And if you intimately understand that, then that can really change the game, not only for your own awareness, but it's just helpful in general, because if you're customer facing, especially, that's something they're going to demand too. Is I asked for this thing. You said I could have it. Where's my thing? I'm just going to keep saying, where's my thing? So as much as you can really intimately understand things like Scrum ceremonies, which is basically what runs my life today, is we release every 4 weeks. And so every 4 weeks, I just kind of rinse and repeat and figure out how to optimize the go-to-market strategy. And so tactically on the day to day, I'm doing daily stand-ups as a product team, but also with every product manager and the rest of their technical teams, right? So this is the Scrum Masters, the engineers, the architects, et cetera, which is also super helpful because when the marketing team reaches out, right, or whoever else reaches out, sales engineers, and they say, hey, I need help with this one thing. For me, in startup land, right, you don't go to a single source. You have to go to the source because probably the person who worked on it is the only one who really understands how to troubleshoot or do anything else. And so joining all of these teams has been really helpful to just kind of say, oh, that's this person. I can actually reach out to them right now, get the right answer, and I'll be back in an hour versus post in Slack and a couple of days go by until the right person is tagged and you find out they're not even in the channel, right? That happens all the time unless there is that bridge. So really following product in the morning, and then I think most afternoons, evenings tends to completely switch to customer facing teams, and fires are going to pop up every single day, especially because, like I said, we were rebuilding product about a year ago, and we were just about to launch, or we actually launched maybe a month after I joined. And so from then until now, right, there's been a huge, huge goal of deployment, 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 as the board, of course, wants to see a return on their investment. But mm-hmm. as those deployments go in, right, and your software is going into stores for the first time, which, by the way, in the restaurant world, it's quite fascinating. A store maybe closes at 8 p.m. and opens at 8 a.m. the next day. And in those 12 hours, everything has to be done, right? The old hardware has to be pulled out, the new one installed, everything's tested. By the time they open the doors, literally overnight, the next morning, everything has to work perfectly. And oftentimes it does not. And so there's a lot of kind of support on that front as well, whether that's, hey, how does this thing work? What's the technical documentation? Does this pricing, you know, make sense? How are we renegotiating this or that or the other? So most of the rest of the afternoon and evenings are putting up fires. And when they're not, I'm going back to some of those processes that we talked about on how product marketing can just make our company better, and where can I look for inspiration at other companies and other resources to put into place? And then how can we make sure that sticks? Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Thanks. And then in terms of those relationships with mm-hmm. kind of product, sales, marketing, sales engineers and so on, like how do you think or how do you wish they could be better? Or would you say they're pretty idyllic at the minute or?
So are you talking about just generally at my company or generally for product marketers and those teams in general?
Just for you, like you and your kind of setup okay. at Keepass, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that education piece was key of understand how product is developed, because I think it's tough for non-technical teams, right? When you don't get to see V1, 2, 3, and 4, you just see V9, right? And you're like, what? This is version 9. How can there be any sort of problem ever? You did it 9 times, right? Like, it has to be perfect at 9 or you just don't know what you're doing. It's so easy to make those assumptions until you get into the nitty-gritty. And I think, you know, oftentimes as product marketers and especially sales, especially for any seller right now, it's all about lead with empathy, lead with empathy, lead with empathy. And I think at this time, especially for those who are in those kind of high stakes environment where, you know, you go live and then all hell can break loose, it's really important to give that empathy back to those technical teams and just understand the sheer amount of effort and force that they're trying to put in to really harden and make everything perfect. And mind you, often without any sort of understanding of the operators, right? Because I think personas can go so far, right? But a user persona for a technical team and a buyer persona for a sales team or a marketing team are oftentimes very different, right? And I would say most companies don't have both. We certainly do not have both. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't have a fundamental understanding of who that user is, and you don't have the industry experience and the know-how, it's really, really difficult to just get it right. Not only that, but understanding your customers may not have the same appetite to rethink the problems as you do, or maybe your company vision does, right? It's really, do you solve my problem the way I want you to solve my problem? If no, I'm going to go to someone else, right? And when those are the stakes, then the conversation becomes very different, right? And that's tough for a lot of reasons. So I would say really just understanding some of these higher level conversations of, you know, what a company needs to do to retain and grow their client base today, and making sure you're giving empathy back to technical teams who I think are just so often misunderstood, right? If mm-hmm. the same way I think sales is misunderstood. And I think that's why I have so much empathy. There's all this conversation about, you know, shady selling and how people are just really those pushy people that knock on your door and don't leave you alone until you say yes, shoving software down throats. In my experience, those sellers are the ones that don't last, right? Mm-hmm. You don't close deals, you don't hit quota, and you're fired before the end of the quarter. And so, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's not. And the same goes for technical teams. Your assumptions are probably wrong. So I would really take some time to get to know your counterparts if that's who you really want to work with.
Yeah, no, I love that internal empathy point as well, because I think a lot of the time in product marketing, empathy is obviously spoken about an awful lot, but usually in the context of having empathy for your customers. Like, as you say, it's so, so important to kind of replicate and follow that on with your internal counterparts, because, you know, everyone obviously has their own targets, their own pain points, their own barriers. And yeah, I think that's a really good point. Cool. So you spoke a bit about the kind of relationship with products. I know you're obviously super close to your product managers at Qboss. What does the kind of process of introducing new products and features look like over there? And kind of how early are you brought into those conversations and roadmaps?
Yeah, it's a good question. Funny enough, at the very beginning, because I'm actually a big part of managing the road mapping tool itself. And so I'm usually the one, both, right, when if it's for the board or someone external, making sure we have the right fidelity of information that we're sharing, or if it's for, you know, an account manager or directly to the customer, going back to that question of, hey, where is my thing? When is my thing coming? What's the status of my thing? Making sure that that information is available in a good self-serve model. So really the go-to-market looks a little bit like this. Once something is kind of fully fleshed out and slotted, and we're pretty confident that we're going to hit it, a big piece of my role are the release notes, right? How does this thing work? What's coming out in this version versus that version, right? So ultimately, where's my thing and how does it work? But then also figuring out what scope or level of support does this need? Is this something that's going to get picked up by the press? Should it be picked up by the press? Are there privacy concerns? Is this just general, you know, plumbing, table stakes for the market? Or is this a true differentiator that we've built, and making sure other folks at the company have a good understanding of that? And the second piece of that is some of those foundational materials, right? The technical documentation of what is launching? Why are we launching this? What pain points are we solving? What risks are there to maybe even our own, you know, if a customer is on a previous version or if their use case is X, right? We need to pay close attention to this from a configuration standpoint, right? We're really big on those implementation teams. And then usually we're pushing out quite quickly and one runs into the other. But it's important. And I think this is something I often have to advocate for. Because, you know, product marketing isn't that fleshed out function, is what rework or work do we need on our persona? What about the positioning and messaging, right? What collateral needs to be created here and now? And when you have a lean marketing team, right, oftentimes these are not higher priority items. But for me, right, they are is making sure we're doing that company demo and everyone in the company understands, hey, these are some really awesome things that have come out. And from the feedback you get there, I think going back to product and understanding what KPIs are we going to measure, right? Sitting down with the product manager and saying, hey, first of all, what's even possible to measure today? What kind of plumbing do we have in the analytics world and where can we put some in really quickly, right? Even if it's just a quick Google Tag Manager to make sure we have a basic understanding of, is this thing touched, yes or no? And then kind of going back and doing it all over again before the next launch. So this is a process I repeat as quickly as I can every 2 to 3 weeks.
You keep like oddly reading my mind and leading me into the next question, because the next one I was going to ask out of curiosity is what kind of KPIs, OKRs you have in place. Are you able to share some examples of what you're working on?
Yeah, so actually, funny enough, I read the OKR report that you all put out and actually went back to my manager and leadership, and I was like, hey, look at this. This is awesome. You should really be thinking about this, because to be honest, right, it's pretty muddy. And it doesn't matter whether it's product managers or product marketers or even developers. It's a little unclear on, based on the fidelity of work that you put out. Everybody's doing the same thing, but what are the grade differences and what are the expectation differences based on tenure and stratification? Those are some of the things that, again, going back, scrappy startup, just not at that maturity level to have kind of clearly defined initiatives broken down, you know, from company to department to level by that. It's mainly we have a goal set by the board. Here's what you're going to do to meet that goal. And that's pretty much it. Did you do it or did you not do it? And if you came in clutch, then that's A-OK. If you didn't, we need to have a conversation about how to do it next time. because like we mentioned, right, it's all that high stress, high impact, high reward, environment, and you got to hit it every time. So I think that's a big pain point for me, is really understanding, how can we get better OKRs and make sure it's tied back to each of the different stakeholders and the buckets of work, that we work on each day, not only for product marketing, but as a product organization overall, and how are we making sure that these metrics are then shared with other departments, right? And that cross functional collaboration is clear. And we're just not at that stage just yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Thanks. And then I guess kind of thinking, like looking back from your start of your product marketing career to where you are now, if you had to narrow it down to kind of three top skills, what would you say the main skills are that have helped you get where you are today in product marketing?
Ooh, good question. Good question. So as I listened to the different podcast episodes, I was thinking really hard. I'm trying to make sure I have my answer ready. Reflecting, it goes back to a couple of things. I think one of the key things I talked about is that empathy piece is huge. And at the same time, right, when you're having that high emotional intelligence and the way to make sure you have empathy and not sympathy, right, is a good understanding, of different teams. And sometimes that means having technical acumen. And that doesn't just mean, you know how to code, but you understand processes, right? Whether that's demand gen processes, or software development processes or implementation processes, it doesn't matter. But you have the ability to really understand something very complex and drop it down to easy to understand concepts, right? So I think understanding something difficult and being able to easily explain it are two different skills, but very valuable, or very important rather, to have both to be a successful product marketer. Mm-hmm. The next piece of it, I think, is just in general, you have to be a good connector, right? You have to have kind of a good experience or skill set to make those cross-functional relationships that really last, right? I'm not talking just at a company that you're at, but just in general, right? Being able to distill high-level trends across the different areas of the business that you work in, right? Whether it's as simple as, hey, there's this really cool tool out here. Have you guys ever looked into this? Have you thought about this? And being able to just offer nuggets like that are what get you invited to various meetings and spaces and get you one step closer to being a trusted advisor, right? Which is so important as a product marketer. And I think the last piece of that for me have really been presentation skills, right? Once you have all this information, it can lead you absolutely nowhere if you're not fantastic, not only at just making slide decks, but particularly making concept problems that are in an engaging way, communicating in an engaging way, but at the same time, just your vernacular and being a good public speaker, right, to hold someone's attention, and really, if you're in a room with executives, to be able to command attention, no matter your background, and you know, get that legitimacy factor very, very quickly, no matter the audience. That's huge. And that's helped me get very, very far today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Okay, awesome. So rolling into the last couple of questions, penultimate one for me, in your opinion, what do you think needs to change about the product marketing field in a general sense, so kind of outside of QPOS as well?
I love this question and I ponder a lot. I think my answer has changed a lot and I'm still kind of forming consistently. But right now, I would really like to see product marketing. I would like to see organizations restructure or reorg to have revenue generating teams all report into one function, or at least one executive solely responsible for driving alignment across all revenue generating teams. And I'd really like that person to really come from a product marketing background, or at least have extreme empathy for a product marketer, and see product marketing really sit at a function that is by design cross-functional. Because oftentimes I think, you know, like I sit in product and most product marketers sit in marketing, and some sit elsewhere. And ultimately, oftentimes, a lot of the pains I hear are trying to figure out how to force collaboration when for everyone else on the team, that's not in the job description, right? And so that is an unnecessary barrier, I think, and wasted time and effort when a product marketer can clearly do incredible things if they're set up for that success from a design perspective. That's ultimately what I'd like to see is CEOs especially rethinking, hey, one, do I understand product marketing, right? This isn't another just kind of checkbox of, do I have this function in marketing? Is it being done? Great. But largely as a business, is that what am I doing to ensure the product adoption is there and the right information is getting from team to team, that cross-functional collaboration is there in my company? And if not, how can I reorg everything to make sure it is? And I think it starts with that, you know, getting revenue generating teams on the same page.
Yeah, no, I love that one. I like that a lot. Awesome. Final question then, Farhan. If there were any new or aspiring product marketers looking to get into the industry and the tune in and they're listening right now, what would your advice to them be?
It starts with the hard look in the mirror and some reflection. I think the first step is understand what product marketing means specifically to the company that you want to go into, or even at your company if that's what you want to move into. What are some of those core misses that the company is having, or challenges, opportunities that the company has right now? And then going out and doing informational interviews, right? Constantly picking the brain of everyone, right? Pick the brain of someone at your level, above your level, and someone who hires for your position. Understand these challenges really, really intimately, and then go back and say, okay, what skill sets do I have / what skill sets do I need to refine before I can come in and speak intelligently to some of these challenges, or ideally walk in and be able to solve it relatively quickly, right? Or develop a plan to at least make some progress on some of these challenges really quickly. Because one of the things I've learned for sure is if you want the legitimacy of a product marketer, you have to be able to quickly come in and have a quick win. And, you know, coming into a brand new organization, or even within your organization, if there are departments that you haven't touched before, if there are those relationships that you know you will need to have but you don't have yet, you can absolutely start that now, right? You don't need to have a specific title to reach out to your counterparts and just start to understand, like I said, what are those incentives for them? How do they win at the end of the day? And then you constantly just go back and forth, and you're doing that internal reflection of, okay, what do I have that will allow me to do this, and what do I need to refine? And there are ton of resources out there, and PMA is a fantastic one, so definitely join as well.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Farhan, for carving some time out and chatting for us today. It's been great to have you on the show.
So great to be here. Thank you so much, Briani.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening, and if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again, and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.